Hey, what's up, y'all? Welcome back. I'm Van. We are all the LFR family. Thank you so much for clicking play. I'm about to do something that I probably shouldn't do, but I'm going to do it anyway. Why? Because I would like for my channel to be filled with truth, all right? I have a perspective myself, and I would like to put it out there. Now, we all know what happened with the affirmative action that has been overturned by the Supreme Court. Well, I'm checking out one channel that that's very outspoken. And this is Roland Martin's channel, and he's talking about how Ketanji Brown, Justice Ketanji Brown, tortures Clarence Thomas over affirmative action. Now, before I do that, well, you know what? I want to really talk about this Joy Reid short, but I'm going to do this when she was talking about how affirmative action helped her out. You know what I mean? It was the only way that she could have gotten into college. You know what I mean? I'm going to get on that. But I definitely want to talk about this right here because my perspective may start some sugar honey iced tea. I'm not trying to start any sugar honey iced tea. I would much rather we learn something from one another and we try to move in that way. No, like it's stop trying to be the one that is right in a room. I'm right. You wrong. We need to cut that out, man. There's a whole lot we can gain from this. I just want to give my perspective as a black person who has many thoughts and have had many thoughts on affirmative action for a long time. But let's listen to this because we already know what position he takes.
Man, let me tell y'all something. A lot of times when you read these Supreme Court decisions, your eyes just sort of gloss over. But man, rarely do we get to see these justices duke it out. Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, she wrote this here, and it may not be if we have the full control room, but she said, the majority and concurring opinions rehearse this court's idealistic vision of racial equality from Brown forward with appropriate lament for past indiscretions. But the race-linked gaps that the law, aided by this court, previously founded and fostered, which indisputably define our present reality, are strangely absent and do not seem to matter. With let them eat cake obliviousness, today the majority pulls the ripcord and announces color blindness for all by legal fiat.
You know what's funny to me? She has all of this to say about affirmative action, but had not a damn thing to say when they asked her what was a woman. Absolutely nothing to say. Now here, this beautiful woman, beautiful black woman, black empowered woman, who was a daggone the highest judge you can be, could not answer what a damn woman was. Huh? It's because sometimes she chooses political correctness. Sometimes she chooses to shut the hell up or I'm gonna get in trouble. And sometimes she chooses to get on the side of fight the power. Let's go against them. Yeah, I got a whole bunch of people in my corner. Let's go get them, guys. Let's go get them. BS. That's the end of it. Come on, Alan. You're faking right now. You're faking like turkey bacon.
But deeming race irrelevant in law does not make it so in life. And having so detached itself from this country's actual past and present experiences, the court has now been lured into interfering with the crucial work that UNC and other institutions of higher learning are doing to solve America's real-world problems. No one benefits from ignorance. Although formal race-linked legal barriers are gone, race still matters to the lived experiences of all Americans in innumerable ways. And today's ruling makes things worse, not better.
How do you know that today's ruling, 4 days ago ruling, make things better? I mean, worse, not better. The people that you used to tout, the people that you used to follow, the people that you used to look up to, the civil rights leaders, a lot of them did not want affirmative action. A lot of them just wanted to be left the hell alone. They just said, you know what? We can do things equally if we're just given the, like, just leave us alone and let us do our thing. That's why a lot of people back then had two family households. A lot of people back then were homeowners. A lot of people back then were taking care of their communities. without a whole bunch of killing of one another, church going, God fearing back then. But for the people that said, I just gotta have my baby, my black baby, go to a white institution, please. They gotta go work for a white country. If they not working for the white man, if they're not going to the white school, they're not gonna be as successful. They need to integrate. Why can't I go to school there? We need to go to school there. Why are you not letting us in? We need some affirmative action. Put us to the front of the line. That's what y'all need to do. Y'all need to put us to the front of the line. That's what you used to see. See, that's the part right there. That's that two-sided ways of thinking right there. I don't understand that at all.
The best that can be said of the majority's perspective is that it proceeds, parentheses, ostrich-like, from the hope that preventing consideration of race will end racism. But if that is its motivation, the majority proceeds in vain. If the colleges of this country are required to ignore a thing that matters, it will not just go away. It will take longer for racism to leave us.
They're not ignoring a thing that matters. They're just not pushing you to the front of the line because you are that thing that you believe matters more than anything else, that you believe should matter more than anything else.
And ultimately, ignoring race just makes it matter more. Y'all, she was in the pocket today. Can you say Clarence Thomas was a little hot? Let me just read for you.
I wonder how many people on the screen right now were blessed by affirmative action. I wonder what their careers are, what they're making, what their salaries are, how they were able to take care of their families, if they would have been able to do so had it not been for affirmative action. I will argue that they would be okay if it weren't for affirmative action, but that's just me.
John Roberts was so mad, Clarence couldn't fight his own fight, so John Roberts had to come defend him. He writes, that is a remarkable view of the judicial role, remarkably wrong, lost in the false pretense of judicial humility that the dissent espouses is a claim to power so radical, so destructive, that it required a second founding to undo. Justice Harlan knew better. One of the dissent's decrees, the view in view of the Constitution, in the eye of the law, there is in this country no superior, dominant, ruling class of citizens. There's no caste here. Our Constitution is colorblind and neither knows nor tolerates classes among citizens. That was the Plessy v. Ferguson decision. John Roberts literally used the Plessy dissent to try to slap down this black woman on the Supreme Court.
Ain't nobody trying to slap down no black woman. The black woman chose to speak up on a black issue because that's where people like to speak out the most. It's like, okay, I know I'll be covered. I can speak about this. She couldn't speak about a woman issue, but she can speak about a black, so-called black issue. No, we need that one. We can't succeed without it. Why are they removing this? No, we need affirmative action. Somebody tell them they're making the wrong decision. Come on, tell them, please tell them. They're making a bad decision. We're moving backwards. Life is over for the black man. Life is over.
That's right. That's right.
Really? Really, y'all? I got to read to y'all how clueless Clarence Thomas is. So check this out. He goes, yeah, just.
Hey, how about you show his text the same exact way that you showed the other justice? I mean, show that one, because clearly we know what side he's leaning on, but show that one and read it the way he meant for it to say, before setting it up to your black diaspora group who are going to be leaning in the negative already. There's no affirmative to anything that he's about to say. They're already ready to slap him down because y'all done already drew the narrative that he's an Uncle Tom and he's against y'all. which is foolish.
Justice Jackson would replace the second founder's vision with an organizing principle based on race. In fact, on her view, almost all of life's outcomes may be so unhesitatingly ascribed to race. This is so, she writes, because of statistical disparities among different racial groups. Even if some whites have a lower household net worth than some blacks, what matters to Justice Jackson is that the average white household has more wealth than the average black household. By a long shot. Okay, that wasn't his opinion. This, he writes, y'all, this is what Clarence Thomas said. This lore is not and has never been true. Even in the segregated South where I grew up, individuals were not the sum of their skin color.
Not the sum of their skin color. In order to believe that you are the sum of your skin color, you got to buy into that narrative. People who didn't become justices, people who didn't become judges and lawyers and become congressmen, people who don't buy into that become successful. People who don't buy into that don't give in to all of the any type of distraction, racial distractions that get in their way, allegedly.
Boy, bye. Then as now, not all disparities are based on race. Not all people are racist, and not all differences between individuals are ascribable to race. Put simply, the fate of abstract categories of wealth statistics is not the same as the fate of a given set of flesh and blood human beings. He's quoting Thomas Sowell. Worse still, Justice Jackson uses her broad observations about statistical relationships between race and select measures of health, wealth, and well-being to label all blacks as victims. No, she didn't.
Yes, she did. If she's saying that we need affirmative action, that's saying that we are victims. We are victims that need help to be moved to the front of the line. We are victims that need help to be made successful. We need to go to certain institutions or else our status will be lowered. Like, we can't go to the HBCUs, all right? Now, why should we have to go to the HBCUs? Well, that's what they're there for, right? I mean, if you're going to call a spade, no pun intended, I mean, go to an HBCU. That way you don't have to deal with affirmative action at all. You can just go thrive amongst the people that you feel more comfortable with. Since race is always an issue, race won't be an issue there, would it? Go there. Have that experience and become what you want to become. Don't think that, oh, they're only hiring. I want to be a judge, so I have to go to this one school. If I don't go to this one school, I won't become. That's you not believing in yourself. People have gone far in life, extremely far in life, without having to give into what they believe they need to do in order to achieve certain things. You are calling yourself a victim when you're saying that you need help in order to get out of a certain type of circumstance that you were naturally born into.
Her desire to do so is unfathomable to me. I cannot deny the great accomplishments of Black Americans. Lord, now let me, while I'm looking for this, Greg, help me out here.
Yes, sir. What page? You can Judge Jackson. Page numbers on the PDF.
I don't have the page number up. No.
Okay,
what I'm,
not a problem.
What I'm looking for right now with Brown Jackson is when she made y'all. She said,
I'm just going to paraphrase it,
Greg, when she said, this boy's arguments are so stupid. I don't even have enough time to blow them out the water.
Yes.
She literally said his straw man arguments.
Yes. I'm sure you are. In footnote 103 of her concurrence, I'm sorry, of her dissent, she destroys him. This is very important. And again, listen, y'all, Black Star Network, nowhere else. I just want to just pause here and make this observation, Roland. I know some of y'all think Rachel Maddow is brilliant. Maybe she is, maybe she isn't. I'm not sure. But
I know some of y'all think that Rachel Maddow is brilliant. Who thinks she is brilliant? I don't god daggone think she's brilliant. And how in the world you are a Afro-American studies teacher at Howard University, but yet you don't see the power that naturally lies in every individual, including but not limited to African-Americans. For some strange reason, you will still encourage your students to support affirmative action when every single day at Howard University and other HBCUs, historically Black colleges and universities, you encourage them to be empowered and to understand their worth, their natural worth. But then on top of that, tell them the importance of a skip the line pass. That's what you're telling them. You're worth everything. You are from the motherland. You are the best thing since sliced bread. Your melanin is worth the price of gold times 10. But you need affirmative action. If you want to get to, you want to get somewhere in life, you're going to have to use that affirmative action. You're definitely going to need it because the white man ain't going to let you get it. They ain't going to let you get it by yourself. You're going to need that affirmative action to get that job. You're going to need that affirmative action. Yeah. Make sure that they hire, make sure they meet their quota of 5 Black people at that federal job. 5 Black women. Make sure that they accept 5 Black men in them white institutions. Come on, bro. How are you empowering these students and you're encouraging them to believe in this whole skip the line jazz you're talking about, man?
In the history of Black news media, where have you seen a host read from Supreme Court opinion and dismantle it in Black media? This ain't the hee-hee-ha-ha reality television. This is a different thing going on right now. And I also want to thank you, Roland, by the way, because not only were we able to interview Corey Robin for the Black Table, we interviewed Professor Kermit Roosevelt at the University of Pennsylvania, who wrote a book on that second reconstruction. Only on the Black Star Network are you going to get behind this noise to deal with what Ketanji Brown Jackson is dealing with. In footnote 103, what she says is Clarence Thomas made up an opinion in my name and then attacked it. So she says Justice Thomas's prolonged attack, ante at pages 49 to 55, responds to a dissent I did not write in order to assail an admissions program that is not the one UNC is crafting. She called that MF as chasing a pink elephant. She said, so what is the pink elephant? A pink elephant argument is when you say, don't think of a pink elephant, and all you can think of is pink elephants. She says Clarence Thomas made up a concept of race in his mind that he's obsessed with that doesn't exist in reality, and then he tried to make me up to attack me, and then she dismantles him. Clarence Thomas is sick. And Ketanji Brown Jackson was on him like Omar was on everybody in The Wire. She brought the pump shotgun for his ass. I think that's probably what you, I think maybe that footnote you're looking for. Footnote 103 is on page 20.
Oh, no, right. I love this here, Reese. She says, Justice Thomas ignites too many more straw men to list or fully extinguish here. The takeaway is that those who demand that no one think about race, quote, a classic pink elephant paradox, refuse to see, much less solve for, the elephant in the room, the race-linked disparities that continue to impede achievement of our great nation's full potential. Worse still, by insisting that obvious truths be ignored, that they prevent our problem-solving institutions from directly addressing the real import and impact of social racism and government-imposed racism.
First of all, everyone that's in that panel right there, Roland Martin definitely included, y'all are hypocrites, bro. Because and that's cool, because we all are in some way, shape, or fashion. We all are. Like, we don't put the same rules on the public that we put on our families. We don't. Or our friends or people we hold near and dear to us, all right? I say that because she's talking about, I dare Clarence Thomas try to say that race is not an issue when race is always the elephant in the room, all right? In this great nation of impede the achievements of our great nation's full potential. First of all, just so y'all know, there is no Black American out there who teaches African American studies or always want to stress race relations who believe that this nation is great in the first place, all right? So for her to say this great nation's full potential, the race link disparities that continue to impede achievement of our great nation's full potential, that right there is her, she's dancing. She's doing her part so that she can be on both sides. She's playing both sides with that statement right there. And they just want her to keep on doing this. Like, yeah, get him. Yeah, get him. Because to them, it's just fodder. It's something like, it's just entertainment to them. It's somebody who supports their side, which is the left. Everyone on this panel, completely the left. But they call themselves the educators of African Americans. But they're supporting the most racist side of politics. I don't understand that. And then they're allowing her to just say whatever the hell she wants to say about Clarence Thomas, when he just simply saying, look, stay focused, run your race. You don't need affirmative action. Keep going. Like, you keep on focusing on race, you're going to keep losing. The people that get ahead in life, they don't focus on that. It's all about what you focus on. What you focus on, it will draw that type of energy toward you. But they love this fighting. They love it. Yeah, we got a Black woman who got the same job as you, equally intelligent, probably way more, because we know how you got your job. If you supporting the right, we know you had to sell out at some point. You sold out. But we're talking to a woman who can't even say what a woman is. She was birthed a female, but she can't say what a woman is. So this is the one we're talking about right now. We need to use her testimony to go up against another gentleman who is also Black. Just so they can say like he has inside of his his title, Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson torches Clarence Thomas over affirmative action ruling. Let's listen to a little bit more of this, because this is a little nuts, man. I don't like the hypocrisy of it all. It's just like, come on, you don't fit in now. We really in the nitty gritty of it all. Like, all the Black people come to our parties and our conversations. You're not even invited. I bet Karen Thomas would tear their ass up in the conversation, but he choose to take the high road, bro. And they're not choosing that way. They just want them to fight about it. They want Ketanji to go ahead and tear him up in text. But ask her what's a woman. See if she can do that too.
Auntie at 55, Thomas J. concurring, thereby deterring our collective progression toward becoming a society where race no longer matters. I mean, she was like, boy, you just offering straw man arguments that don't amount to nothing, and I just don't even have enough time to extinguish them here.
I mean, it's like, you know, we all get into these arguments on social media with somebody who just don't know what the fuck they're talking about. And it's just like, we aren't even in the same realm of the conversation. You are on some whole other shit that I don't even have time to properly respond to. But I just have to say, I would be remiss if I didn't say this. Fuck the founding farmers. This whole founding fathers, this whole notion that, like, oh, we're going against the founding fathers. They own slaves. Fuck them. Fuck them and their stupid ass vision. This this was not a race-blind country. This was not equality for all country unless you buy into their notion that enslaved people are not, in fact, human beings. So it's absurd, and it's gaslighting how these white supremacist justice, including Justice Thomas, try to sit up there and act like they are showing deference to the notion of colorblindness by invoking people that fucking did not see black people as human beings, let alone women as human beings. That's a whole nother story too. So I just think that we're having a discussion on the terms and with notions that were bullshit from the very beginning.
All right, so here's the thing. Justice Thomas here's the thing, man. Does he have his own ideologies that's a little old school, that's a little stale and watered down, and is he seeing things from a lens that you might not ever see things from? Absolutely, probably so. Different generations, different upbringing than you. He probably would never go into a conversation filled with individuals knowing that it was going to be recorded and do all of this cursing back and forth. And I know you're an intelligent young lady and you can communicate your part without all of the BS and F the founding fathers and F this and F that. We all know the story. We all know the story. We all know how this country was brought up. We all know how this country was built. We all know the old rules. We all know the new rules. But the old rules are no longer the new rules. All right? And you keep on saying you don't fool with the founding fathers. You don't fool with the country like that. You don't fool with racism and all this other stuff. But you clearly support the Democrats who support exactly what you claim to be against. But you would never admit to that because you want to sound like you're blacker than everybody and I'm blacker than black, black, and blacker than black, black. I'm a blacker than black. I can cuss and I can give you the attitude and all this other BS, which you don't need. You can communicate your position without all that. You know you can. But wouldn't you rather have an older gentleman tell you that you can do just as well as anyone else in this country without having a skip the line pass? Wouldn't you rather that? Rather than saying, speaking to someone who says, no, you're black, you're going to always be held down under someone else's thumb who just so happened to be white because you know this is a white country and white people will always hold you down no matter how far you go in this. What type of hope do you have? What type of healing do you receive from that victimhood that you carry around on your back, inside of your pockets, in your bra, and inside your hair and everything? You just carry it around with you. You never put it down. What's up with that? That makes absolutely no sense to me. Like, you're clearly angry. You're clearly distraught about something, and you're supporting the wrong side. And continuously you see the same things coming from that side time after time after time, but you still pay for it. You're paying for it. You're paying for it. You're paying for it. But yet all of you are talking about Clarence Thomas is the daggone fool. Clearly y'all are the fools. In my opinion, I don't ever claim to know everything at all. We all have our own perspectives, right? And then to try to prove that we're able and we're qualified to be able to have this position, we try to go by our background, by our level of education, by how much work we done in the community, by all this other stuff. Thinking and assuming that the person you're talking to and talking against did not do that as well in their own way. That's the problem I have with individuals who just automatically assume that if someone don't think like them, they are the fools. They are the ignorant ones. They are the confused ones. They are lost in the sauce, can't see the elephant in the room, and all this other stuff. Maybe if y'all listen, you will understand that a lot of people that you held up as heroes who passed on, who died prematurely because they was trying to start a movement that was way too big for the moment at the time, that someone had to take them up out of here, unfortunately, that they were communicating the same message I'm trying to communicate to you right now. We didn't need affirmative action. But then you say, whoa, 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 whoa. A lot of people was helped by affirmative action. Judge Clarence Thomas was helped by affirmative action. Ketanji Brown was helped by affirmative action. This person, and that person. And I can go and name as many people that you named that was helped by it, that was not helped by it, and are equally and probably even more successful and are living great lives. So miss me with that BS, man.
And to carry them forward is just delusional, but it's intentional. It's working as designed. It's going to have the impact that they wanted to have. The only thing is there's going to be collateral damage with people that they typically wouldn't want to do harm to, which is not Black people. It's the non-white and non-Black people and the women who are white who have benefited greatly from the strides and from the kinds of protections that affirmative action has put in place. But let's all be clear. Black people still had to work 10 times as hard. I remember when I was applying for jobs, moving to the DMV, I took my race off of applications and I immediately started getting more, more calls back because I bought into the notion of diversity and equity. I'm Black. That's going to help me.
So you're saying affirmative action didn't help you? Because that's pretty much what you just now said, right? We're talking about affirmative action right now. You're talking about racism and white supremacy. You're talking about unfairness. You're talking about not being able to get into a white man's workforce and them seeing that you're Black and them not picking you. Isn't that the opposite of affirmative action? Now, you might say, no, it's the same thing because I had to do that in order to survive and get what I wanted. When I took my race off of it, then I, because I had to remove race from the whole thing, you see? And then when I removed race from the whole thing, and then they called me into the interview and I showed up and that was just so good, they had to hire me because I was so good. And then I had to work 10 times as hard to get to what they wanted to do and get to how far they are. You're always comparing yourself to someone of the white complexion. That makes absolutely no sense to me, bro. Run your race. Concern yourself with your own race. Not your race as far as your complexion, but your race as far as how far you get in life. Whether or not it's a sprint or a marathon, depending on how you do it. But no, you always want to focus on that one thing that does not matter as much as you think it matters.
It sure the
And that's only because you haven't gotten far enough to get to notice.
Fuck didn't. As soon as they didn't know if I was a Black girl, I got all the damn calls. And so we know as Black people in this country, when we're going for a job, when we fill out those applications, if you check Black, you definitely not getting ahead, despite what these white propagandists and racists have been trying to tell us and shove down our throat about how diversity and inclusion is disproportionately impacting us. It hasn't. So go to hell.
That's right. Yeah, you just now taught them, girlfriend. Yeah, I...